This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour we're going to talk more about the Carson Wentz trade to Washington, but we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up, and I've got two stories about fathers that I want to get to. Oh, you're going to like this. It's also a throwback Thursday and a fun one today. We're going back to 1978, the television debut of the show The Incredible Hulk. This is the one with Lou Ferrigno. Bill Bixby paid David Banner, and Lou Ferrigno played the Hulk. We're doing 70s television theme songs today, so that should be a ton of fun, especially if you remember some of the 70s TV shows, whether you watched them in syndication or watched them live back in the day. But as I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk a little bit more about this trade of Carson Wentz to Washington, and there's just two interesting angles to this from both teams. Washington has tried and tried and tried to find a starting quarterback. They can't find one. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heinicke, they can't seem to get it right. Now they've got Carson Wentz, who, coming off one season in Indianapolis where it should have worked, but it didn't, and it fell apart towards the end as the team lost its final two games. Jim Irsay was angry. Anytime your owner is doing a video by his private plane telling the fan base, we're going to do whatever it takes to win, you got to think that you're on the chopping block. I got to think that if you're Frank Reich, you knew that that experiment was coming to an end. But the Colts are a team that is in position to try to get to the playoffs. They got a good team around them. Got a good running back in Jonathan Taylor, got a pretty good defense, got a good head coach. But they are willing to go at that at the well again to try to find a quarterback that can lead them to the postseason. Whether it was when it was Andrew Luck, when it was Phillip Rivers, they made it. And then Carson Wentz was supposed to deliver that to them again, and he couldn't. Now in Washington, they don't have really a lot to lose, given that they weren't going anywhere with the quarterbacks that have gone through their system anyway. And now there's a little bit of hope that whatever talent is still in Carson Wentz. Because remember, let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't yesterday, but it wasn't that long ago he was playing at an MVP level. Now, again, to get that back is going to take some coaching and a willingness on Wentz's part to change a bit of his game. We're going to, again, next hour three, Dave Preston will give us an idea of what Washington was thinking with this trade and what they want out of Carson Wentz. But for the most part, one team said, goodbye, don't look back. And the other one said, hey, come on in. I think you can help us. We continue with Wake Up Call. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb. That's next on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time here on a throwback Thursday. All right, you know the good is the anniversary of the Incredible Hulk TV show, but what is the better good of the day?
The better good of the day. Have you ever heard of a ship called the Endurance?
That is the South Pole ship, I think.
Yes, it was all over the news yesterday. And if you haven't heard the story, I have to believe that this will be a movie in the next 2 to 3 years. The story is incredible. So basically, if you haven't heard it, some marine archaeologists, I guess that's what they call themselves, discovered the sunken ship. It had been sunken for 107 years. Underneath Antarctica, and they found it yesterday after, I think, a 5-year expedition to try to find it. But that in itself is amazing. It was like finding the Titanic, but it's the story that's behind it that people are really grabbing a hold of. Basically, what happened was in 1914, the ship set sail from England right at the onset of World War I. But they had said, no, we'll stay and fight for the war effort. But the guy in charge at the time, the Lord of Admiralty, gave him permission to go. And that guy was Winston Churchill.
Wow.
And so they set sail. The ship got stuck in the ice. They waited for it to thaw out. But the ice kept crushing the hull of the ship, making it unusable. And then these guys, they abandoned the ship. They just sat on floating icebergs for months. Until those icebergs started breaking apart. I mean, they had lifeboats. And so then, you know, half of them went to go find help and left the other crew behind. And they traveled 800 miles till they found a whaling station. And then once they found that Wellington, once they found rescue, they went back and got the rest of the crew. And this whole process, you know, began like in September, which is early spring. It's early spring in Antarctica, to April.
Oh, my God.
And all 25, I think it was 25 men survived.
That's incredible.
Not
that
one person died on
that
this expedition.
That is great, because I know I would have perished.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, it's way too cold and I'm hungry. Well, bye.
You're in Antarctica.
Yeah, I mean, right?
What can you do? There's nothing there. You eating penguin?
In all seriousness, at what point does, like, panic set in and you do irrational thing? Like, you're in Antarctica. You're like, not likely going to make it, and you're probably going to die freezing to death. Or starving to death. God, that's great. What a story.
Yeah. So I can't wait. I mean, it's got to be made into a movie. This has movie written all over it.
Yeah, it does. And that and it was in recent history within the 100-year window.
Yeah, 1914.
I would be curious, like, how do you survive that?
Yeah, I know there's detailed accounts because they all survived, so they're all able to talk about it, or were able to talk about it then and write about it and give details about what they were doing.
Michael in Atlanta says the Ernest Shackleton story is the most amazing story ever. He was the lead man in the exploration.
Yes.
Many documentaries about it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but I need a Hollywood to jump in now.
I want a Russell Crowe-led movie on this.
Why not?
You know?
I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah, that's great.
And just the fact that it was Winston Churchill that gave him the okay.
Sure.
Like, oh, you know, we've heard of that guy.
Yeah, we sure have. All right, so what's the bad of the day?
I hate doing this. I think I've done this bad too many times now.
Uh-huh.
But Major League Baseball canceled another week of games.
Another week of games.
This time it was because they weren't even – there was a – it looked like an agreement was going to be had. But they couldn't get to the point of saying, do we agree on these terms, because they couldn't settle on the international draft.
What is the – I tried to – fine. Bob Nightingale wrote a story about this on USA Today, and I was reading it, and he never explained what the contention is. What is it about the international draft that is so bad that it can't be compromised on?
The
player's like, no. And the owner's like, yes. And the player's like, no. And that's it. And they couldn't come to an agreement on that.
I know.
But I couldn't figure out What are the sticking points? What are the things why is it so entrenched in the players not to have this, or at least some version of it that's maybe not as much as the owners want?
Because I don't know if it takes away from their actual draft.
Probably.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, we're doing this for you guys, for you high schoolers who are going to enter that draft someday, or, you know, you college students are going to enter that draft. It's taking away your draft picks.
Do international players get to just come into the league as kind of free agents? Is that
I think it's they go out and scout, and
yeah, so if I'm a high school player in Texas or a college player in Arkansas, I'm gonna get drafted by the Padres and then they own my rights. But if I'm a baseball player in the Dominican Republic, the Yankees could sign me, the Rays could sign me,
and it's highest bidder
could get me, and the highest bidder. And I think that's what the players want, because those salaries can really deliver a baseline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you find an international player like a Shohei Ohtani or some, and then you just go, no, he doesn't have to do the service time. He doesn't have to do anything. He can just come right in, make $20 million. I guess that's what the players are saying. No, we're not doing an international draft, because some of those guys that come in here, because look, if you're good enough to play in the major leagues from the international market, you're probably going to be a star.
Well, I mean, it's a totally different thing. Like Shohei Ohtani, you know, or Ichiro Suzuki, you know, those guys, they were professionals over in Japan for how many years?
So why do they have to come here and waste their time with low-end salaries and service time?
Right.
Like, most of them are like, well, I'm playing in some level. Like, no, I'm not going to get drafted at, you know, for some players, it's like 20, 25 years old, right?
Yeah.
Some are young, right? I get it. But some
need
that
out.
Seasoning in professional leagues around the world before they get to the majors.
Yeah,
they don't waste their time. There's
a whole bunch of guys we've never heard of. Because, you know, I have to imagine, like, for every Shohei Ohtani or every Ichiro Suzuki that gets chosen, that there is, you know, five other guys who just try to make it in the minor leagues and couldn't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, they were taking a chance on him. I don't know. But I just, for us and baseball fans, this, I mean, it looked like an agreement was made. And by all accounts, I mean, it may change, but rumors are they're not even meeting today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still not good, man. It drives me crazy to say it, but it is so true.
It's just, it's ridiculous.
It's so April 14th is the earliest baseball will start. That's the way it is.
And it won't.
And you know what they're doing? I'm telling you right now, nothing has changed my mind on the owner's willingness to have a season. They do this to the players. They go, well, now it's not going to start till mid-April. And if you guys want any money, well, here's the next round of negotiations. And the players' union is like, yeah, but we're still not quite there yet. And they're like, oh, well.
See, it's what Jared Diamond said. It sticks in the back of my mind is that each time we lose a series, it's going to be, okay, but how are we making that game up?
Yeah, because the players want 160. They want 162 games because they want their full salaries. And they want the full service time for the players that are accumulating that. So they want it to, you can, and that's going to be sticking points. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, it's an old tweet that resurfaced yesterday.
Yes.
And first of all, I mean, the tweet is so dumb that, I can't wait to get your thoughts on it. But it was just the fact that it resurfaced and people were arguing. I have to believe it was just Twitter trolls having fun and trying to pour gasoline on a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 2015, Sports Nation tweeted out, would Kentucky beat the 72-10 Chicago Bulls? And the team they were talking about was the 2014-15 Kentucky Wildcat team that had Carl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Willie Cauley Stein, right?
I mean,
The Harrison Twins, the team that went 38-1. I mean, but they lost in the final four.
Oh, I don't think they had the Harrison Twins that year.
No, yeah, they did. Lost. They did. They had the Harrison Twins.
Okay, they had the Harrison Twins that year.
So the question that was posed by Sports Nation was, would that team beat the 72-10 Chicago Bulls? And people were like, yes, of course.
They did?
Because basketball rules have changed since then.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Do I think that Kentucky team could have, because that had, when we talk about this, it is different in basketball than it is in football.
Right.
Right. And I've said many times, it's ridiculous to think Alabama could beat an NFL team. That's silly. But an NBA team can lose to a college team.
Yeah.
If that college team is loaded. You're talking about athletic ability. You're talking about guys that can shoot, et cetera. They're good basketball teams with future. I mean, what's the difference of a Kentucky team that's loaded with future pros a year or two early, right, than, you know, of going to the NBA? But they wouldn't have. I don't think they would have beaten the Bulls team of the 70. Come on, that's silly. That's one of the greatest teams ever. Now, I do understand the rules are different. I get it. I do understand that argument. But I believe in adaptability. And
yes.
I think that that Bulls team would have adapted whatever style was needed to be met. In that game. I said this about LeBron when everybody's like, LeBron wouldn't last 10 seconds in the old league. Yeah, he would, because if he grew up. If he grew up in that era and knowing that that's the way the NBA was played, he would have had a game for that. He doesn't need that physicality, so he doesn't have it. But if that's the way it was to get in the league, he would have absolutely would have. Would
but
have
that's why I
that
said I just think
game.
It was Twitter trolls just trying to just keep pouring fuel on the fire, just because it was, and you know, yeah, would that team beat? You know, pick any recent Knicks team, right? Yeah,
right. Sure.
I think they would have. They would
couldn't beat Wisconsin, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Right.
But I mean, to think that team, you know, it's like, was Michael Jordan's famous line? Could your team beat? What was it, like the Kobe Bryant led Lakers?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It goes, yeah, probably by a point or two. Only by a point? Well, we're all 50, 60 years old.
Right.
Now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Not the Bulls at that prime. No. Exactly. By the way, that Kentucky team. Remember how we told you the story about how me and my brother and my sister gave my dad that the worst gift.
Yes,
like we gave him the worst Giants
football
game.
Did you do that to your brother as well?
No, but a bank did. A bank did. So my brother does business in Indiana, and they know he was a Kentucky fan. They got him tickets to the finals in Indianapolis for the NCAA championship game.
I mean, it was certain.
And the idea was Kentucky was going to be there.
Yes.
And he had great seats, and he was going to – he not only was he going to see Kentucky, he was going to see them complete the perfect season.
Right?
Like he, it was going to be the ultimate Kentucky experience for my brother, who's an alumni of the school.
And why wouldn't he? Because at that point, I mean, 38-0, even against ranked teams, they were blowing
everybody through. Talked about as one of the greatest college basketball teams ever assembled, right? So this was where he was going that Monday night. And then Wisconsin came around. Frank Kaminsky and company, and ruined that. And because Wisconsin couldn't beat Duke, we ended up Duke as a national champion. So a team he can't stand, who beat him in the 92 regional finals with the Leitner shot, he had to watch them cut down the nets in Indianapolis.
I was going to ask that. Did he even bother going?
He went to the game, yeah. He went to the game. Oh, my God. It's going to be my turn. You know that. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to go to a Steeler game or something where I'm going to be like, this wasn't supposed to happen at all. What are you talking about? You know, yeah. So wild.
Two wins. I mean, you know, two losses on the season in the Super Bowl, and you're like, right.
Someone's going to give me Super Bowl tickets or something, or AFC championship games at Heinz Field.
Yeah, and at that time.
A game against some weak 7 seed that they should crush. Oh, no.
I would go even further. It'll, you know, because they'll expand the playoffs. It'll be a 12th seed.
Yeah, right.
It'll first be just 12th some, seed ever make it through all the way through.
Some backup quarterback barely can throw the ball forward. This is a coronation of Steeler greatness, and they lose 38-10.
Let's say it's Carson Wentz.
Right. Let's say it's Carson Wentz is right.
It's Pittsburgh against Washington. Carson Wentz is leading them.
That's where I'm heading. That's where I'm heading. So, yeah, I think I'm going to stir the pot a little bit with my dad and my brother when we get together for a family function and ask which one had it worse. You watching Duke or my dad watching the Eagles?
I'm going
to
go
come back against the Giants and go to the playoffs.
God, that's a great debate. I'm leaning towards your brother.
Knowing me, I'll be more than happy to stir that pot.
I'm leaning towards your brother because he went to a game where he can't root for either team.
He went to a game he couldn't root for the other team, and he got the ticket knowing Kentucky was likely to go to the finals.
Yeah.
Like he had the tickets knowing he
hotel reservations, probably made dinner reservations.
Yeah.
Knowing that everything is just going to line up perfectly. And they're going to make a great Monday. I mean, your dad got tickets. I mean, you guys got him tickets to a game that just had just the worst outcome probably in Giants history.
We were excited, too, because it was like the new stadium. And we were like, they're playing the Eagles and they could go to the playoffs. And like, we were thrilled to get him this gift. And then watching the nightmare of DeSean Jackson going into the end zone on a punt return.
Yeah, see, I'm leaning towards your brother because at least your dad got to see his team play.
That's true. He did get to. It's not our fault, right?
Yeah.
It's Kentucky's fault that they didn't deliver to my brother a championship appearance. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. Coming up, a father's love. That's next. Part one of this hour as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Just a good old boy.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Throwback Thursday, celebrating TV from 1970s. This is Dukes of Hazzard, of course. All they wanted to do was just drive around and deliver the moonshine of Uncle Jesse. There was nothing wrong with what they were doing.
They weren't doing anything illegal.
They weren't doing anything illegal. Yeah, the General Lee.
Yeah, why did the police have to be so bad and try to stop them all the time?
All over Hazzard County.
Yeah, Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane.
P. Coltrane. And then Enos, he ended up marrying Daisy Duke. Is that what happened at the end of that show?
Yeah, but what was the other deputy name?
Roscoe P. Coltrane, that was Boss Hogg.
No. Roscoe was the sheriff. Remember? There was another one. No, there was another one after Enos.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was after Enos got married or he was deemed to be a good guy. I don't know. There was another one.
I can't quite
remember. Little chubbier.
I did like that. I did like that show when I was a kid.
Oh, who
I
didn't
watch that? Who didn't like that? Dukes of Hazzard. All right, real quick. We'll probably go into this in the next segment a little bit. I got two stories on dads. One
good
is
dads.
Jim Boeheim, because his son Buddy just flat out punched a guy in the stomach yesterday in their game against Florida State. So he was. It was. They were battling. They were battling underneath the basket for a potential rebound. And Buddy Boeheim, I guess, thought that the Florida State player was getting a little too physical. It was a Wyatt Wilkes. And Buddy Boeheim just went bump right in the stomach. And then Jim Boeheim was like, what are you going to do? There's nothing. Like, he's like, He said the kid pushed him twice. I think it was inadvertent. It wasn't much of a punch. But it still was a punch, Jim. Your son still punched a guy. Now, here was the thing that made it really interesting to me. Leonard Hamilton, who's the head coach at Florida State, you'd think he would have said, that's outrageous. Jim, get a hold of your kid. He punched my guy in the stomach. That's ridiculous. I'm going to file every complaint in the book. Leonard Hamilton, after the game, went, I don't want to take anything away from how well you played and what type of fine young man he is. The game's physical. We expect guys to go out and bang and be aggressive. It's something inadvertently happens sometimes. We want to characterize it in one way or the other. I lost my composure sometimes. I've made some mistakes. So neither coach thought that this was going to was a big enough deal for the ACC to step in. Wilkes, to his credit, did do the double over and squat like he'd just been struck by lightning, but then continued to play basketball because you got to sell it, and he was trying to sell it. But the ACC went, oh, no, guys. You may not think that was a punch. We absolutely think that's a punch, and he's not playing against Duke. So any chance of an upset that Syracuse had is gone. Boeheim's like one of their best players. So, but I like the way Jim Boeheim was like, it's nothing.
Barely touched him.
Barely touched him.
That's what dads are supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what you want to think they should do, but don't you also think they're a little harder on their kids than other players? Don't you think you'd be like, buddy, come over here. Sit down on that bench. Don't you think punching a player, what's wrong with you? Taught you better. Or you think he's like, my kid doesn't do anything wrong.
You got dad goggles on?
Yeah, he probably has dad goggles on. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I like the dads that are just like, not my kid, if he did that, I would drag him off that court screaming. Like if I was Jim Boeheim, I might walk out there, grab my kid by the ear and go, get over here. You just punch a kid in the stomach. What's wrong with you? Sit down. But Jim Boeheim's like, I didn't quite see it. What do you want from me? And it's possible he did. He doesn't have the same instant replay that we get on TV where we can. You know, blow up the video, focus on the punch. Well, he probably didn't see. He was probably blocked away. But hey, Boeheim was sticking up for his kid, but the ACC didn't quite buy what both coaches were saying, and he's not going to play against Duke today. God bless him. But man, that was great. What a little. And it, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a. If you didn't see it, it wasn't like he just went pow. They were physical. They were bumping into each other. They were getting tight. And Boeheim just kind of did that flick where he just kind of turned his body with his fist clenched and went right into his stomach. And then ran away. Syracuse again playing top-seeded Duke. So after advancing and beating Florida State. But Leonard Hamilton was the most surprising thing to me. I would have said, hey, he's my guy. That's my guy. You can't punch him in the stomach. But Hamilton must have a lot of respect for Boeheim and a lot of respect for Buddy Boeheim. So he must have been like, hey, listen, I like that guy. And I don't really think he did anything wrong. So, again, neither coach thought it warranted a suspension, but a suspension has come down. Boeheim is one of the top three-point shooters in the nation. So, again, if Syracuse had any chance at all of beating Duke, which I don't think they did, but let's say you get a puncher's chance, not to make a pun, it's the three-point shooting, and Boeheim's one of the best, and he won't be playing, so... That's it for Syracuse. Thanks for playing this college basketball season. It was nice knowing you. Next, part two on the father's little story about dads. That's next as we continue.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So this is a very appropriate theme song for our next father story. This is the theme song from Dallas, of course.
Oh, yeah.
J.R. Ewing. Again, celebrating 70s TV shows. The Hulk on this date, 1978, made its television debut. Of course, Dallas, more infamous for a 1980s episode, Who Shot J.R., that captivated the country. And I believe it was Kristen that did it? I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
I don't care. Nevertheless, Dave Preston knows, though. WTOP next hour. He knows all this stuff. You know what Dave does on Twitter? He during Dallas week, when Washington's playing the Cowboys, he does a daily Dallas episode moment. He'll have a picture of a Dallas episode saying, this is, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Speaking of Dallas, so a 25-year-old woman is suing Jerry Jones. This is a great story. Well, I guess it's a great story.
I mean,
it's a great story for us.
It's a great story for us. Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Good story for us. Saying that the billionaire paid her mother hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep it quiet that he was the father of this 25-year-old woman. He's the biological father. So the girl was bound to secrecy forever. And now she's suing, saying that her mother was paid $375,000, which Jones denied that he's the biological father, but he did pay this woman in exchange for confidentiality. I gotta tell you, this is one of those stories. You and I were talking about this before the show. I don't know if this is true or not. Okay? I don't know if this is true.
Yeah.
But it's believable that it is true.
No, I'm not even doubting it.
Right? Like, that's what makes this story interesting. There are some public figures where you go, that person is after some money. That person is after money. This does not add up. This doesn't seem to make sense. This story makes absolutely all the sense. So Jones met this woman who was worked for one of the airlines in Arkansas in the mid-90s and had a relationship with her. This woman was the result of that relationship. And he paid her to basically say, confidentiality agreement, that she will never rise up to claim her part of the Jones empire.
Now
she's entitled to, if indeed it is proven that Jerry Jones is her dad.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did that extend to the kid, though? The daughter?
Yeah, well, that's a great
confidentiality
question.
I mean, is it passed on generation upon
generation? No, I can't imagine it is, because when you become an adult, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not bound by something my mother signed.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Like, that's not me. I didn't agree to this, so I'm jumping all over this. So what Jones should have done was to have somebody within his organization keep track of this, right? Like Obi-Wan Kenobi looking at Luke Skywalker from afar.
I mean, maybe
just,
you know,
watching her grow up into a fine young woman.
Was it
making
sure
she doesn't get any inkling for wealth?
Was it in the confidentiality agreement that you can't even tell your daughter who the father is?
That's very, yeah.
Say
but
it
again,
was a sperm donor.
And again, this woman could go, okay, and so what?
Yeah.
We don't have an agreement.
You think she grew up looking like, Mom, are you sure? I look awfully like that guy.
Right.
Who's always on TV talking about his football team.
Oh, right? Right, exactly. Did they watch Cowboy games when she was younger?
Yeah, are they Cowboy fans? We got to know. I mean, she wants part of the empire. She's got to be a fan then, right?
Did the mom leave her clues as she was growing up, like giving her a Forbes magazine at 8 years old, where it showed the Cowboys were worth like $2 billion at the time? She like, isn't that interesting, honey? Cowboys are worth $2 billion. I know that sounds irrelevant to you now, but you probably should know that.
You think she ever complained, like, Mom, I don't want to be a Cowboys cheerleader for Halloween again.
Yeah, again? I got to be the Cowboys cheerleader again? Like, believe me, someday you'll get it. You'll get it. Golly, that is, what a story this is going to be. When they sort this nonsense out, holy cow. That girl, she's entitled to the empire.
She is.
Right?
Is she?
I got to think she is.
I mean, you know, does she get a cut?
I got to think she, well, I mean, I guess Jerry can leave the Jerry in his will can leave his money to whoever he wants.
Yeah, he doesn't have to.
I mean, there's no law that says he has to give it to his kids.
Yeah, he doesn't have to leave it to Steven.
Right? I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to leave it to any of his children.
No.
He could go like, you know, Tommy's been working here at AT&T Stadium since day one. He started off selling popcorn, and now he's running all the concessions. The whole thing belongs to him. And then the kids lose their mind and go crazy.
Yep.
Right? And they go, ah!
I mean, didn't this a similar thing happen?
Each other and fighting.
But didn't a similar thing happen in Denver?
Yeah, it's a very similar thing happened in Denver. Yeah. They don't really know who the team belongs to out of the Bolin family. There's a whole bunch of Bolins coming out of the woodwork claiming their stake. Yeah, wanting their piece of this pie.
I mean,
I gotta wonder: is she entitled to anything? Like, is she entitled to? Could the courts go, Jerry? For the love of Pete, give this woman $10 million or something.
Yeah, that's couch cushion
can
change.
Can they do
for
that?
You. Maybe she just wants to go on his villain yacht.
Yeah.
Where he did the draft from.
Yeah, right, exactly. What if she comes in and she starts changing everything, right? She's just going, like, all these bad draft picks. I'm going to fix that tomorrow.
You know, blue and silver is not really my thing.
I like red and purple. I think that'll
work.
Let's
go that.
And stars are so outdated. I want a unicorn. Let's do that. How about a four-leaf clover? Will that work? Oh, my God. What a story this is, though. This is, again, it's so believable. You can
That's
totally
the problem,
see this
right? I mean, you
occurring.
Saw the story and you were like, oh, no. I mean, you know, pick your billionaire.
Yeah.
If this happened to Arthur Blank, we would have reservations.
Yeah, you'd be like, come on, Arthur.
He seems like a stand-up guy. He's out there doing it for the common man. I mean, you know, but billionaires are billionaires. They don't care. They feel like they have power. They can get away with anything. But it was Jerry Jones was like, well, yeah, is that really a story?
What if this is like? What if it's like that movie, the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, where the mother convinced the Arthur that his dad was Thomas Wayne? Like, what if she's been lying to this girl like all her life?
Yeah,
like your dad's Jerry Jones, is he? Yes, really? Sure, let's go with that. You know, okay, I'm going to say this, no, believing in the judicial system of in terms of the criminal element. If you're, you know, if you're guilty until proven, you're innocent until proven guilty. Like, you don't have to prove your innocence. But wouldn't Jerry Jones run to a DNA test if he knew he wasn't the father of this woman?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Like, you say, I am absolutely not that guy, that woman's father, and I'll prove it.
I think he's
start
already
swabbing.
I don't know if it's been down that road, but he probably sat there and was like, yeah, that's me.
Now, it doesn't say that. It says that the $375,000 in the article was delivered to this woman on exchange for confidentiality. They just didn't say it was. There also is being reported that there were two trusts for the girl that were linked to her and her mother. So it is kind of fishy that he did this, that he's got two trusts for her and the mother and paid her $375,000. Wow, is that the price these days to keep for a billionaire to keep?
Well, that was the price 25 years ago.
Still with inflation, what does that amount to? $375,000, a million, maybe. Is that what a billionaire has to pay to just keep things?
And I'm
quiet?
Also I'm always curious about the timing.
Yeah, me too.
Like, why now?
All the time.
Why now?
Is it because he's 79 and future isn't promised to any of us? Is that what she's doing? Like, any day now, that's going to be a wide open team in terms of ownership. I'll also get my hands in the cookie jar now. Yeah, why now? What is it about 25 that wasn't that way at 18 or 19 or 20?
Yeah, I mean, I get why, you know, she didn't do it when she was 16.
Yeah, of course.
But did she just get out of college, has massive student loan debt? She's like, God, I'm just swimming in debt. You know what I could do? Just one phone call and I'm out of debt.
One phone call. She doesn't seem to want, I don't know, she hasn't really spoken, but she has a couple of quotes that are attributed to her. I don't think she's doing that, I just want a dad type of thing. I think she's like, yeah, you know what? I think a check would be nice.
Yeah.
I think my years of not having you around, you could put a price tag on that.
She's not looking for plans for Father's Day.
Right. She's not like, walk me down the aisle, Dad. She's looking like, set me up for life because you owe it to me and my family for that, for this. Man, $375,000 is a lot of money, but it doesn't sound like billionaire quiet money, right? But again, how would you hide $1 million? Like if you were that woman, like if you were the mother, would you just like, okay, here's what I'm saying. Like $375,000, you can get it little bits and pieces here and there, right? Where it just accumulated over the years to be $375,000. Let's say just out of nowhere, somebody you know with a fatherless child is now buying a $900,000 house and driving a Mercedes. And you're like, don't you work at the local diner? And she's like, yeah. And then you're like, so somebody's writing you a check. Uh-huh. Arkansas, huh? Yeah. Okay. And then just walks away from that? No, I don't think so. I think you'd have some people going, something's up. Because it doesn't seem like it's that much money for something Jerry Jones really didn't want anybody to know about.
Yeah. I
Would
mean,
you fleece a billionaire if they had a secret they wanted to keep quiet?
You know, or is she...
$375,000 doesn't seem like a ton.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Even or in 1990s even... money.
Yeah, but even now, I mean, you know,
remember,
there's probably...
he was winning Super Bowls back then.
Oh, you know that's mean? Just, that's just, you know, that's an unnecessary jab right there.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
Cowboy fans were with you, and then like, they just all of a sudden turned off, Tony, because you were like, oh, come on, Tony. Low blow.
I know.
That was low hanging fruit.
It's true. And this is coming after the Cowboys had to pay that money for the cheerleader accusations.
Yeah, what's going on?
What is going on in Cowboy Land? Oh, my goodness. So it says here, Jones and his wife, Jean, have three children, Stephen, Jerry Jr., and Charlotte Anderson. I think you can add one more seat to the table come Thanksgiving.
Yep.
That's the way I'm looking at
Better
it.
Better send an invite out for that Father's Day barbecue.
Exactly.
It's your turn now.
It's your turn now, yeah. Exactly. All right. We'll see where this story goes down the road. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1970s theme song. I'm stumped on this one. Which one is this?
Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie, okay.
Doing it for Merlin Olsen.
Better watch. Yeah, Merlin Olsen was on that show, right? Dick Enberg's sidekick, L.A. Rams.
Yes.
Defensive player, Merlin Olsen. Yeah. So, Little House.
The star of the
Prairie.
Show, let's be honest.
Yeah, right. Little House on the Prairie. I don't know. Was 70s television good?
I don't know. That's a weird one, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That show, I mean, it's just a family living out in the, I mean, out in the prairie. I mean, right. I don't know how else to describe it.
That's kind of the way it is. It's kind of the way it is. Like, I've been watching reruns of Happy Days. I know I've told you this before.
Yeah.
It's like the writing wasn't even challenging to create topics. Now you look back on it and it's like you just did a whole episode of Fonzie can't get a date because he lost his jacket. Like that's the whole episode.
Right.
Right? Like that's
nowadays,
like 20 something minutes of content on, you know, Joni has a crush on Potsy. That was it.
Now, if you watch a sitcom, you got to have three or four storylines intertwined with one another.
You got to have a couple of storylines that got to be kind of, well written, good, snappy dialogue. Like, I don't even think
and
Happy
sometimes
Days
they
tried
have
to be
to, they have to deal with
funny.
Each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think it was just like slapstick, easy humor, easy jokes. You know, and it was like, this was television.
God, that is amazing. I'm thinking about it. I never really processed it where it was, Fonzie couldn't get a date because he didn't have his jacket.
Yeah, like that
lost
was,
his jacket, and that's his mojo. And
yeah, that was it. Like I saw one episode where Elvis the Elvis train was coming through Milwaukee. Like, just the train Elvis was on. And a bunch of kids were going out there, but the cop had put a curfew on the town for the kids. And that and they were going to protest it. Like, that was it. That was the whole show. Richie and his friends were going to protest the curfew to go see the Elvis train as it was coming through the town. That was it. That was it.
Man, what, I mean, what do you do?
And you know what Fonzie was going to give Elvis as a gift? One of his girlfriends. I kid you not. That was written in the Happy Days episode. He had a girl on his arm, and he said, I'm going to the train to give Elvis a gift. And Richie goes, who? And he goes, Lorraine here. What did you think? I was going to give him a wallet? Like, that was an actual part of the show. Like, if you wrote that in an episode, you'd be fired on the spot. They'd kick you out of the writer's room if you tried to sneak that into a sitcom today. Gave Elvis a girl. Crazy. But as we're doing 70s TV shows, it just gets me thinking, like, some of these, they're good, but they're rather simplistic.
Oh, very simplistic.
Right? And just kind of easy watching, no real controversy, nothing really that would make you go, oh, call the FCC. Just television. Yeah. All right, hour three coming up. Dave Preston, WTOP, on Washington, picking up Carson Wentz. We'll find the details of that. We explore it more next hour next.